Yeah. Oh, there we go. It wasn't me this time. Oh, for once. Oh, the first one? Okay. All right. I keep pushing buttons. Eventually it'll work. Well, you know, I try not to get political. Y'all know, right? Okay. You know, this year, you've heard it quite a few times. This is my 25th year of being here. And I will say for 24 and a half years or 24 years, I remain non-political. I don't want to be debatable and divisive. Unfortunately, I think Mario Murillo made the best comment a while back. He said, the problem is politics, the church didn't go into politics. Politics went into the church. And, I was watching a sermon this week where around the country, people are literally crying out that how can you vote certain ways and call yourself a Christian? You know, Ronald Reagan said this. This is a really phenomenal quote. When it comes to some of the things at hand, he says, with regard to the freedom of the individual for choice in regarding to abortion, there's one individual who's not being considered at all. That's the one who's being aborted. I've noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born. You know, I miss the quotes of Ronald Reagan. I have a couple more coming in too. I miss Ronald Reagan's quotes. I mean, you know, some say, was he a great president? He was a great actor that became a great public. And there were so many things he encouraged America. I mean, that was my first presidential remembrance as a kid. But you know, not that I'm saying he was a perfect. I mean, if you go look in history right now, you find out that his wife was into some really weird stuff. And now we're going to. But so we're not going to find a perfect person. That's not, we're not electing them. But we are fighting for freedoms. And as we celebrate, really honor, celebrate those who gave their lives for the freedom that we have this weekend, to me, I decided to spend the whole sermon on that. I just want to talk about the freedoms that we have and really not forgetting of the things that have been done for us. But I want to make one quick announcement. Chris and Mateus, this is the first time you've been back here since you've been married, correct? So I want you to know, for officially, those that don't remember Carissa, who grew up in the youth and all, moved down to Florida and got away, Mateus and Carissa got married over the COVID. They had to keep delaying everything. So finally, I said, forget it. Let's go to the beach one morning and get married, because God calls to get married, and they'll figure all the stuff out later. But welcome them this morning. But I think last time you were in town, Mateus, was when you were racing, wasn't it? Yeah, so yeah. So he was, that was the last time I've been to the track, was to watch you race over there. And I'm not going today, so I'm staying right around here. And I'm going to just hang out today. But either way, you know, God is so good. And the freedoms that we have, we ought to remind ourselves regularly of what freedom looks like. And the world we live in, and the fact that we have people like Bill Maher. If those that don't remember, see, I'll give you a quick history. Bill Maher used to be on a television show on ABC called Politically Incorrect. And he's an atheist. He is to the core. He's anti-anything. He'd bring Christians on there and try to just destroy them and all these things. And that was 25 years ago. And this guy was cutting-edge liberal as they can be. And it's sad that now today we have conservative posts out there praising Bill Maher for his positions on what he's saying, because liberalism has gone so far. We have in America have the greatest divide that I've ever seen. The hatred towards one another is massive, and the only way that we're going to get through this season is if we as a church decide to show that we are going to live for freedom, die for freedom, which we'll get to in a minute, and stand for freedom no matter what the cost is. And I'm not talking about just the freedom of the United States of America. I'm talking about the freedom of what Christ gave us. And there are times where saying that we believe certain things about the Bible are truth today will cause people not to like you. They'll cause ordinations to be revoked. There's going to be a lot of things that are being threatened upon us right now. But at some point, we as a church are going to have to stand and realize, just like in America, those that gave their life to give us the freedom we have, Jesus gave us his life so we can have the freedoms we have now. And to go ahead and not honor the word that he gave us and live out that word on a regular basis, it's nothing more than trampling over that grave also. Amen? Now, that grave, thankfully, is empty, unlike the tombs of our soldiers who have fought for the freedoms and the families that have given up the ultra sacrifice, losing their moms and dads and brothers and sisters and daughters and sons to the freedoms that we have today. And so when we look at this, and I will let you know, up until a couple, I mean, I even have a hard time saying I'm a Republican, a Democrat, because to me it's two sides of the same coin in so many areas. However, I will never, ever vote for anybody who kills babies. So, I think, well, what does that make me? It makes me someone who votes morality. It votes conviction. If you can tell me that there's no rights to that child in a womb, then that tells me something about your character. This isn't about the, right now, we can't decide what a woman is, and now we want to fight for women's rights. I mean, you're talking about contradictions in their own belief systems. They can't even define what a woman is, but then when it comes to abortion, oh, we got to fight for women's rights. Well, what's a woman? It's the one that carries the baby. Well, I thought we didn't establish that during the last swearing in of a new judge. And now we go. This circle of madness is not going to stop with them. It has to start with us. We have to become people who are going to live free and stay free and preach freedom to people around us. We also have to guard ourselves. Now, this is the flip side. I do want to give you a warning. I personally have to struggle because there are some times I watch the TV and I listen to the news and there is a feeling in my heart that's not loving, if that makes sense to you. Love is not fulfilling my heart when I see some of these concepts and beliefs on the sides that I disagree adamantly with. We have to guard our hearts too, not to have hatred and bitterness creep in. And yes, there's one thing to stand up for truth, and there's another thing to be a voice, a pillar of light. But to go ahead and degrade, and we got to be careful we don't take part on the fight on their terms, but on ours. I can speak out against evil, but also do it in the way Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't make the Pharisees happy when he called them a brood of vipers. There's ways. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where you're going to speak harshly, but also knowing that's the right way and not getting in the mud with them. Amen? Hey, and one more quick thing, by the way, just real quick. Charles, I don't think I've ever heard you play a guitar solo that awesome. And just on a side note, but did you see him at the end? Hold on. This is my favorite part of it. Did you see Jared look back and just grin at him? I thought, that's hysterical. You guys came to hide your fun. The other band members leave for the weekend, go camping, and the worship leader's out of town. So what do? They just do a jam fest. And so I just want you to know, next week when they come back, you tell them there's a new song that they learned that was a lot of fun. Chad warned me already. He goes, decided to pull out a new one this week, so we learned it this morning, so that's not bad for learning it in the morning, was it? But I love watching a band have fun, guys. It's great to know we can worship God, and it says praise him with the stringed instruments, praise him with the harps, praise him with the drums. We have to praise, and so that right there, though your voice can release the sound of worship, those strings can too. Those drum heads can too. When we release the sound of God and release it as an act of worship, that's worship in itself. That guitar sang better than every one of you just for a few minutes. I want you to know. Now, if you're near me, by the way, it sounds way better than me, even when I'm singing off tune, out of pitch, and everything else. What was joyful? That's the best case scenario. And those that are around me don't call it joyful, Alan. They just say, wow, that's bad. I've told you a story before where actually it was Jared who was up there in keyboard playing one time, and I didn't realize my mic was on. Thankfully, they muted me out here, but unfortunately, when they get me out there, they could get in their inner system, and he heard me singing and making it joyful one day, and he looked at me and goes, please turn that off. I can't even pay attention to what I'm doing up here playing keyboard. So Jared's not in. I don't know. He's on there. Okay, well, I'm going to pick on him a couple more times than if he's not in here. But either way, let's get back to the message. This morning, though, we're going to celebrate freedom, and we're going to honor those things. So before we jump into that, let's go to Genesis chapter 9. And we're going to do three things when it comes to what a memorial is. So Memorial Day is a time to honor and remember and remind ourselves of the testimonies that were done before us. Well, biblically speaking, we do that also. In Genesis 9, you remember, this is right after the flood. God destroyed the earth for a reason, because sin was rampant on there, and there was not a covenant yet that he wouldn't do these things. And so in Genesis 9, the flood was over, and if you jump to verse 8 here, it says, and God spoke to Noah, this is after it was all over, and he said, and his sons with him, saying, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with you and with your seed after you. Remember that right there. I'm not just establishing this covenant with you. We're going to see this to come. But you and your seed. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall be all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be more flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of my covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature which is with you for perpetual generations. I will set a bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, to all the waters, no more become a flood, destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Very redundant, but here's the promise. I destroyed the earth because the sin was rampant, and there was a lot of, I'm not going to go through the history of this, but we had giants running, we had all kinds of stuff coming out to destroy the seed, the precious seed that was going to bring Jesus to this earth. And there was so much, and at one point God said, enough. In Exodus, he actually says to Moses, I repent that I even made these people. I mean, when sin is rampant, a God who created us to be enjoying us in his image, his likeness, to love him and to honor him and to have a generation continue to rise up like we have now over and over again and just destroy his nature, destroy his character, and come out against him, it grieves the heart of God. But he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this covenant I make with you, it's going to be a promise and a reminder that I'll never do this again. And when I get upset, when God, his righteous anger is fueling over Sodom and Gomorrah as to come, or other nations to come, or even some of the things he's seeing on earth today. By the way, you do realize that Sodom and Gomorrah has the same things going on then as we see right now. So when we understand that we're not seeing something new, Sodom and Gomorrah were cities that were run by sexual sin of all kinds. I mean, they had daughters being taken by men. They had angels that were being offered to men, which was really wrong. They had men with men, women with women. Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed the city because there was no righteousness in that city. He didn't destroy the land. But you see, sin has to be punished. Today we live in a world that we think, oh, there's no way it's going to happen. We are living in deception to think that the God of the righteous God will not judge sin again. Now, right now, we're in the time of grace, and he's coming back, and we're going to see him. But sin is always going to be judged. That's not a popular message, because we want to talk about the mercy and grace of God. And there's a new song You guys, no secret, I really like country music. But one of my favorite country artists, he's an awesome Christian, too, by the way, goes to a great church in Texas, and he sings a song called, about grace that I was listening to yesterday. By your grace, I am free. And I was just listening to the country music and enjoying it because I think it's God's music, but you guys can argue with me later. Kenny's not here, so it doesn't matter what he thinks, because we know what he thinks about my music. But by the song, and Cody, he's just singing this, and I'm just enjoying the sound of the grace of God being sang. And so God's grace is real. It's freeing. His mercy is everlasting. He loves us with that. So don't get to the point where, but if we don't find that mercy and that grace, there is consequences for our sin. And that, to me, is one of the reasons why abortion seems one of those easy topics to hit. Because if I choose to have sex outside of marriage, outside the confines of how God created us to be, and that baby becomes an inconvenience, that is a consequence of a choice that was made. That child is an innocent victim by a choice that was made by two consenting adults, and that choice produced fruit. And we think we can destroy the fruit because of our choices we made. To me, that's not a woman's rights issue. You had the right to not have sex, but you chose to. I'm just being honest. You have the rights back here that you chose, and you made a adult decision, and you don't like the consequences. So what do? We do what we do right now. Well, God's not going to judge sin either. Let's just go ahead and kill it. And we live in a world where there's no consequences, and that's why we keep raising up a generation that people think the world owes them something, instead of we owe the world the right to bring the gospel and truth and love and service to the world around us. We are not raising up generations that believe that anymore. Have you noticed we have a society who is me-serving, and it's out that they owe me something? It's really difficult. That's why the people don't want to work, and that's why the workforce is so struggling right now. And somehow, we got to get back to, yes, there's mercy, yes, there's grace, but there's consequences one day that will come, and God will judge sin. But what he says here is, look at the rainbow in the sky. I am not going to destroy the earth ever again. That rainbow is a reminder of the sky that until he comes back and redeems us all, there's going to be the earth will be destroyed again. But that's the revelation part of the gospel later. But what is this rainbow about? You ever see it's rainbow? Everyone takes pictures and how beautiful. We're looking for the pot of gold on the other side, always wishing it was at my house full of gold. That's not what it's about. They make it out of leprechauns and everything else. It's about a reminder that when that rain hits and when that certain scientific reason why that all happens and all those colors are shown, it's a reminder of God's covenant he made with us. So I look at that and I remind myself that God is a God of mercy and grace, and he is not going to judge the world like he did then, but there's still a God in there that wants to remind us he's a God of covenant. He's a God. And so the first thing we do when we have a memorial, a time of remembrance, remember that God will always honor his covenant. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, his promises are yes and amen. Amen. That means my promises are going to be yes, yes, yes. I will do what I said I will do. And I will not do what I said I won't do. God's word is always the final answer. And we can remind ourselves when we compare this to Memorial Day weekend, and we'll get to that in a second too, that when we have a memorial with God and his word says he's going to do it, it is a reminder, a continual reminder of what covenant is all about. God's promises are everlasting. Whenever you're going through battles in your life and struggles and you wonder, you can always lean back on God's word and use that as a reminder of what he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. Right now, I don't mind being honest with everybody. As many of you know, my family, we've been blessed with my mom's healing on this battle. You know, and 5 years ago, my mom was, they said she wasn't going to live for months. Well, right now, the doctors are giving her less hope than ever. And so this week was a rough week for them, but not really, because the last time I talked to my dad a couple days ago, he said, "Son, we're still standing on the word." When 5 out of 5 doctors say it's just, this is not the way your wife should die. You should do this instead. You know what those conversations mean? We're going to go ahead and let her die humanely. But instead, we can either believe that, or we could say, or we want to live on the word of promise. And so we're going to stand, and we're going to continue to believe. And so when I go back on that, cancer has no right to take my mom, because cancer is a defeated foe. And cancer has been broken. Its power was broken at the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, "I took all sickness and disease, put upon myself like I did with sin, and like I did with curses, and I put them upon me, and I became that for you, so you don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in bondage of sickness and disease and abuse and all the things that we do and addictions. We have been set free from those things because Jesus took that upon himself for us, so we don't have to have it live in us." That's the word of God. So when I look at, which I'll get to, I'm jumping ahead of here. Let's go there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's jump there. The second act of remembrance is this one right here. It's the act of communion that we celebrate once a month here, which we'll be doing next Sunday. So I'm a week early on my communion message, but it's okay. We'll repeat it next week. But 1 Corinthians 11 clearly spells this out in a wonderful, wonderful way. Verse 23, as you're turning there, I'm going to start reading 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I have received the Lord, that which is also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' The same manner he also took up the cup when he supped, saying, 'This cup is a cup of the new covenant of in my blood, that you do this as often as you drink it, remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will show the Lord's death till he comes.'" So the second part of remembrance and reminders is when we take communion, this is a reminder of a continual covenant that we have that's everlasting with God. The first one's a reminder of what he did for us and what he won't do. The second one is a reminder of everyday renewal that by the blood that he shed and the body that was broken for me, I now have right standing with him in healing, in forgiveness, and in mercy, and in grace, and in love, and his compassion that drove him here. This will remind me daily, and as often as you do this, it will remind you. The second act of remembrance is a continual reminder on a daily, you can take communion at home, by the way. You know, I was told a couple weeks ago at a wedding that when my niece was married, that one of the family members opposed the fact that they had communion at the wedding. They said, that is just absolutely not a part of a wedding. That's weird. This says every time I do it, it's a reminder of what he did for me. Why not? You could have communion before dinner every day if you want. Communion is a reminder. It renews us in what he did for us. This is a way that we can, so there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible and a lot of remembrances that he asks us to do. There's one more that I really love, the last one. But this is a reminder that the covenant that God has with us isn't just what he did or didn't do back then. It's what he's doing in us now. That the reason why we eat the bread is we become part of that. We're participating in what he did. He said, this is my body that I broke for you. You do this, you eat this and become a part of this as remembrance of me. And then this is the blood of a new covenant, not the old one where you had bulls and goats and you had to do the sacrifices annually and you did this and it was based on performance. Now I give you a new covenant. And as you drink this cup, it is a reminder till he comes back for you that you are in good standing, you are righteous, you are clean, you are pure, you are holy. You have been made right with God in every aspect, spirit, soul, and body. And when we do this, it's a continual remembrance of how awesome our covenant was with God. The third one, go back to Joshua chapter 3 with me. And since I jumped ahead, I missed a couple of really good quotes I'm going to have to give you, by the way. I just want you to know, I pulled out some. So under the one about the one for the Noah covenant that we had, the quote I had for you on this one, it's a really good one, that's why I'm going to go back and read it. Winston Churchill said this, those who fail to learn from their history are promised to repeat it. If we don't learn that sin ultimately had consequences in their life, we are going to walk ourselves. Now, there was a time the Bible warns us not to harden your heart, right? When that city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm jumping back a little bit, forgive me. I'm going back and forth. And, you know, this is just, if you have taken notes, just kind of put an arrow and go, oops, he forgot. You know, just that's fine. But Sodom and Gomorrah was a city that made choices to live this way. These were choices they made. And when God tried to bring a redemptive angel, redemption into the city, not only was he denied, but they tried to give the angels a way to have sex with people. I mean, this is how depraved the people became. These were choices that they made. We were reading in our men's group in Romans 1. I really, really love Romans 1 because you could preach this and expound this so wonderfully. Because there's no excuse for people not to know. You can look at the creation of the world. There's more of that. But this is what it says, that God gave them over to a depraved mind. Why? Because before it said they began to do this, they began to do this, they began, by their actions, God gave them, this is New Testament, God gave them over to that. God will not fight with you to make you live for him. Genesis says, right before the flood, my spirit will not always strive with man's. And there's a warning for every single one of us in the room, and I don't care if it's popular or not, but we have to understand that he is a righteous and holy God. He loves you with an unconditional love like a father loves his children. But he also knows that he is not going to fight forever. There's a day that my dad told me, I'll never forget this. I wasn't living for God at all. And he said, son, I've told this story for those who have been here a while. Son, I have pointed you like a bow and an arrow the right direction. I've done everything in my power. You're 18 years old. And the choices you're making, I don't agree with. But all I can do now is believe that everything that's been sowed into you will produce the fruit that's supposed to be. And I'm letting the arrow go and letting God take this arrow because all these years as a father, I was able to direct it. But you know who had to make those choices the next couple years? Me. God didn't make me go My dad made me go to Taylor University, by the way. On a side note, those that know that story, I was told on a Friday that enjoy your weekend because on Monday you're going to Indiana. I'm like, Indiana? Those that don't know, I'm from Michigan. That's like a long ways away. And I'm going to college. I thought I got out of college by skipping I was going for football. And I thought I skipped all that. I'm like, I'm out of this. Yes, I go live my life like a heathen. My dad had different plans. He called the university and said, hey, you might not be playing football. Is there a way we can still get him to go to college there? Sure, we'll make room for him. Thank God he did. Because I drove on that campus of Taylor University as an 18-year-old rebellious child. God had people in that college that were set up there for me. And the day that I turned 19, I had somebody on the phone with me telling me, I don't know who you are, but since the day you walked this campus, I've been praying for you. And I'm going to go, there's a little prayer chapel at Taylor, not no more, it's gone. But there was one right off the dorm. I'm going to go pray for you. And if you want to come join me, I'm going to pray for you and believe that God has a plan for your life. And if you want to turn from what you're doing, and I was not doing a lot of good things back then. And that lady, that girl, was there praying. About an hour later, I'm like, I couldn't go to sleep. I'm like, this is a curse. I hate this person. Who is this person? I don't even know her. So I walked in there, and she looked at me, and she said, you can take all the steps you can away from God, but all you did today, just turn around. He's right there waiting to receive you back. Will you receive him? Will you do this? And that day I fell to my face and I repented for that life. And God changed the course of my path. Why? Was I forced to do that? No. But I had people set up by God in my life. And he's going to do the same for you and your family. There are people out there that God has prepared for you. But ultimately, you are the one that has to turn and repent. And these are reminders for us. That no matter, but I will tell you, there is a truth that if rebellion will cause a hardness, and that hardening will harden, 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 and one day you won't recognize the voice of the Lord. Amen? You won't recognize it. He's going to say, hey, Adam, and I'll be so hard I won't hear it. And I don't want any of us to get that way with the Lord or with each other. Let's soften our hearts and allow him to do it. But there is if we don't learn from that, we will repeat it. In Joshua chapter 4, I think I might have said 3, but I meant 4. And starting in verse 20. Oh, not there yet, sir. So in Joshua, for the beginning of it, Joshua's going to give them instructions. Hey, well, you're going to go there. We're going to finally cross over the sea. Remember the one that took them forever? I mean, the one they were supposed to cross over like a couple weeks and it took them like 40 years after all the rebellion. We're finally going to get across the other side. When we do this time, we're going to take 12 stones that represents the 12 tribes. We're going to put them right here, and we're going to do it as a reminder for those generations that go ahead, and he explains all this to them in the beginning. Well, finally, now they're making the journey. They're bringing the ark across there, and now they're ready to go. And let's start at verse 20, because this is now, the people came, verse 19, and the people came up out of Jordan in the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, what do these stones mean? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord did at the Red Sea, in which he dried up before us until they were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Another act of remembrance, as we do memorial remembrances, is there are moments in your life where God sets you free. And this is where I want every one of you to stop for a minute. If you have never had that encounter with God where you're born again or set free, let's make that marker today. It's not too late. But some of you in the room will never forget the day that God got a hold of your heart and it changed you forever. I just shared one of mine. Now, that was my encounter with God after. I was 6 years old in my dad's bedroom leaning against his bed when I first prayed the prayer. And I did mean it for many, many years until I decided not to mean it for a while. But thank God for his mercy and grace that brought me back. But you know, every one of us have moments in our life we should be able to look back on. And I think those stones of remembrance are just that. It's a time to look back and a time that you can share your testimony, and Revelation 12 becomes alive with you, that they overcame the enemy by what? the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did, the word of testimony, what he did for them in loving our lives unto death. We can get it to a place where our testimony becomes the power to not only remind you of the change he made in you, but also can transform people around you. It is a place of victory for you. If some of you are struggling with fear, get set free now and put a stone out there going, that's the day that I look back. I will never let fear rule me again. Some of you are struggling with pornography or addiction or drugs or whatever else. Go back today and say, enough is enough. I will put a mark on the ground today. I will look back and say, never again. You know what you have to do? Do it never again. It's a reminder of what he does for you. And we got to put these things in our heart and our mind, and we got to get them solid, because some of you get free, it only lasts seasonally. Seasonal freedom is not what he died for. He died, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free from everything. And when we learn back, these children who crossed this was generations of rebellion. I mean, they had to go through the golden calf, they had to go through earth splitting and destroying. I mean, there's a lot, they saw a lot of things. But a new generation rose up and was able to get into this promised land. But they went back and they put those stones and said, remember this. We can look back and remember our God is mighty. He was able to pull back the river and we walked on dry ground. And every one of you here has that same testimony if you allow it. When did God part the seas? We sang about this morning. He split the seas so we could walk right through them. When did he do that for you? When did he give you a place of victory in your life where you know you can look back and say, never again. I'll never be that person again. I am born again. I am set free. I am healed. I am delivered. And I'm going to live like I am free because I am. I'm going to live the promises that God's given me. And every time I look back at that stone of remembrance, I'm reminding myself, God is mighty to save. I'm not going back there. I am never going back. So I look back. I look forward. And so, you know, I look back in my life and I realize that years ago I made the decision to get married. Next weekend, these two crazy kids are getting married. Next weekend, really, already? Seems like it was just yesterday. Okay, not, but it's just great. They're going to make a decision. You know what happens next Sunday, a week from a day? They're going to put a ring on their finger. I decided after all these years to tattoo it on mine because that way my wife knows it's done. I mean, this ain't going nowhere. But I decided to tattoo mine on there. It's that way when I'm on job sites and everything else I'm at, I can always have a ring on there. And but you see, this marks me as a reminder. This is a stone in my life I'll never forget. Those that have that stone, you should always look back and realize, that's a covenant I made. We should remind ourselves of a covenant that was made here, right? The covenant that God made. Now, this is a covenant I made before God. I got to make sure the rest of my life, I've got to honor, respect, and love, and cherish. I do my best. And for the rest of my life, that symbol that you wear isn't just something, a piece of jewelry you put on or some ink you put on your finger. It is a reminder of a covenant with God and you. And next weekend, they get to take that covenant promise. And they get to walk in there, and they're going to walk down that, and he's going to look at his beautiful bride and go, wow, what a day. They're going to go celebrate. They're going to, and then they're going to look back in 5 years and go, what do we make? No, they're not. They're going to say, we're so good. Greatest day of our life. Greatest day of our life. And they're going to say that. And so every one of us will remind ourselves the covenants that we make too. Memorial Day isn't just a time, and I will get to the remembering in just a minute. But it's also biblical. This isn't just something we do as a nation to celebrate those that gave their lives and their families took the greatest sacrifice of all for us. This is a time that it's biblical to have times of remembrance. We can look back and honor those things that God did and that those before us did in Scripture to thank them that when David decided to go ahead and step up when no one else would and kill the giant, that's not just a Bible story. That's a testimony of greatness. That a little stone can kill a big giant. Well, keep reading. It wasn't a stone that killed him. It was the fact that David goes, you are an uncircumcised. You're not part of covenant. I am. Bam, I win. I got a God that's mighty, and this little stone's going to knock you down because it won't be the stone that kills you. It'll be the God who put me in this place as a representing covenant. You're not in covenant. God is before me. Every giant can be slayed by the word of God. That's a testimony. That's not a Bible story. It's a testimony of greatness of our God. And that's what Memorial Day is about. It's a reminder of the greatness of those things that have happened before us so we can celebrate it. And so when we do this, the greatest testimony is this. So turn to John 15, then we're going to switch gears and I'm going to get you out of here today, okay? John 15 is this. This is the greatest act for all of us. I got so many placeholders, it's hard to flip through pages anymore. John 15, there you are. So, hold on. So, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I'm no longer called you servants. Servants not as of the Lord. I have called you friends. For the things that I have heard of you, of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The greatest act of love is what Jesus does here. I gave my life for my friends. Jesus was the example of what freedom is. If I love you, I will lay my life down for you. The ultimate sacrifice of relationship is I will die for you. I will die to my rights. I will die to my desires. This is so popular. This will get a lot of amens in just a minute, I promise you. Like, we got out of here shouting, hallelujah. I will die to the right that I have the right to be happy when God gave us the right for joy. You can find joy when there's no happiness. And you can find the joy that you know that our God will work things out for good. And that happiness that you're not experiencing must be temporal because God's word is eternal. So if you're not experiencing happiness in things, don't quit. Try to find a place that you can find the joy of the Lord to be your strength to get you through a season so you can find a peace and a joy that's everlasting rather than a temporary happiness that's making you miserable now. That goes with your jobs, that goes with your relationships, that goes with everything in you. It goes with your relationship with God. Sometimes you're not happy with the fact that God's not answering your prayers quick enough and you get mad and then you just kind of go off and, you know, go back and revert to poor behavior. This goes with everything. Find a place where you can get your peace and joy in the Lord in the midst of it and you will be sustained through it. And it says this, and I love in Hebrews 12, is who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, seeing himself seated at the right hand of God. Jesus went through the cross with joy because he already saw himself victorious on the other side. Do you see yourself victorious even in the midst of your battle? Who for the joy? Imagine, encounter joy. Now you see the author of James here says, consider it joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Because he knew what the author of Hebrews said. He said, when you can see joy in it, you will find fulfillment in knowing that you're going to be victorious. This is not a time to quit. It's a time to press in. This is when joy and faith come together and they rise up and you grow in faith and you look back and go, through the word of God, it got me through the storm. And now I not only got a chance to walk on water in the storm, I got a chance to see myself victorious in a time that I could have been defeated. That's a testimony. And the greatest thing we do is not give up and not quit, but lay your life down for a greater purpose. Lay your life down to a point where you're willing to give it all. And that is what today is about. Jesus gave us the example of how to live a perfect life, and that is to live a life of honoring one another above ourselves. Memorial Day weekend is nothing more than honoring those people who chose to take the ultimate sacrifice so I can stand here today and say whatever political thing I want to say. Whatever biblical thing I want to say, thank God I can stand here in freedom and preach it because there is no persecution. Right now, there's persecution. There is no way they can stop me because the people have fought for our right to do this. You know the other thing they did? And this is another message I'm working on right now. They also gave us the right to pursue our dreams. Remember, the Constitution says you don't have the right for happiness. You have the right to pursue it. I'm actually writing that out right now. I'm stealing it, by the way. I'm stealing it. I was at a conference in January, and John Rich was a speaker. Yes, country music guy, no. You'll see a consistency in there. I'm pretty consistent. But you see, John Rich was a speaker there. And he talked about the difference between your pursuit and your passions. And he said, every one of you in this room, I'm jumping ahead to a sermon I'm going to be preaching here soon. Every one of you have a pursuit in your life. You can pursue happiness. You can pursue the right to happiness. But you know what? It's the passion that you have in the process that fuels you to do everything you do. I want you to be passionately in love with Christ, passionately in love with one another, and passionately in love with the freedom that we have so you can pursue everything God's called you to pursue. We've got to be in pursuit of God, pursuit of souls, pursuit of the things that he's called to do. And out of that, when you're passionate about it, people are like, how in the world can you be so passionate when you're going through so much? Because my passion, my joy isn't determined by my circumstances. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving. I'm going to look at it. And these people who gave, these men and women, brave ones that we honor, were not comfortable in wars. They were not comfortable fighting, knowing that every time they walked out and even maybe sleeping in their tents, wherever they were across the world, they weren't safe. They weren't comfortable. But they knew they were there for a reason. And Memorial Day weekend to me is a time that I honor. And I've become more and more patriotic in my life. And I can't play the song I want to because he uses the word H-E-double-L in the wrong way. He's not talking about, you know, the place. But it's a song that a guy wrote. I'm not going to tell you about it. But it's a reminder. It's a question that when we look around, are we the only people right now looking around wondering what's going on? I'm paraphrasing it because I don't like to promote songs that have language in it it's not appropriate. I did find a radio version of it, and it still said the word. I'm like, oh, I guess you can say the radio now. But you know, I get fired up when I think of the fact that we have people abusing the freedoms that we have. But then I realize they're just taking it their way. They have just as much freedom to say what they want as I do. I might disagree with them adamantly, but they're using their freedoms. They have the right, not around me, they have the right to burn a flag. But you know what? The same people who gave them that, who raised that flag as a sign of, to look at and say, thank God for that flag. That flag represents the fact that we're still alive. When the flag goes, so does the war. But that flag was raised up every day knowing that no matter what, we can look at a sign, a symbol, and say, we are still alive, we're still fighting, we're still going to win. And you want to take that flag and you want to burn it? That's exactly what those men and women died for. I don't respect you one bit. I don't respect you taking a knee at the national anthem. I don't respect anything that dishonors what those people did for our country. And it gets me burning angry. But you know, at the same time, they can do it because the same freedom that we honor, they're just destroying it, but they can do it because of that freedom. I don't respect it, but I have to acknowledge that's their choice. You want to spit on the graves of those people who gave their life, that's their choice. But you know what? There's people doing it over Christ every day, spitting on his grave, dishonoring the sacrifice that he became for us, mocking him, and doing cruel things. The similarities are great. Obviously, Christ is our, more than just our hero, he's our savior. I don't want to compare it too much. Okay, don't, I'm not being sacrilegious here. Two things I want to... Well, we got one more scripture. Then Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this: those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men have died to win them. The privileges that we have, we take for granted so much. Then a weekend like this comes and remind ourselves this freedom had a price tag. It's the blood of our grandfathers and fathers. And, you know, my dad was in the Army, and he was stationed in Panama. And his job was to raise up these people, because that was his, in the jungles of Panama, preparing them to go where? To Vietnam. So my dad would raise up. So after they went through all their basic training and all their trainings, they got sent to Panama. And that's where my dad had a chance to train these people, these young men and women, to go over to Vietnam. And you want to hate the war, it's fine. But you know what? Our soldiers have been destroyed so much because of them coming home from that. It's sad. I'll never forget talking to Craig Meany on the way out. We were traveling one day out to meet Mark and them in Branson, and he was talking about his service. And I'll never forget him talking about some of the times that he had to go through airports, and they started telling you, take off your uniforms, don't wear them in there. Because when they came home from Vietnam, they were being spit on. Our soldiers were being spit on by our own people because the media and what they did to our soldiers. That's not a way to honor them, is it? Not at all. But you know what? Without that freedom, though, we don't have it either. It's sad, but that's how freedom works. Last quote, and then I'm going to read you a verse, and then we're going to let the worship team come and close it. I don't know whichever verse, you can close it however you want, Chad. All right. So this is another one that I really like. It's a Ronald Reagan quote, but you've all been hearing it. If you're on any social media, I'm sure you've heard it lately. But this is one of my favorites. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like to live in the United States where men and women were free. We're one generation away. And I don't know about you, and I don't want to make it a political issue. Our freedoms are being eroded every day. And whether it's because we had let's go back. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist that bad. I can't say that with a straight face because people call me. But 9/11, what do? We changed all the wiretapping rules, where now that we can be, we lost freedoms there. With COVID, we've lost freedom. Every time there's another thing happening, our freedoms are being eroded. Whether you like it or not, it's true. Okay? I mean, we it's funny how HIPAA laws were matter until COVID came. Or we couldn't have our phones tapped before this. There's always going to be reasons. But, you know, we have to trust that hopefully they're not misusing it. But either way, those laws are now in place for them to have an exception. We can now shut this down. California just passed a law now that they can almost have martial law over their state if people have so many cases. I mean, we're really going at a point where we're eroding our freedoms, and we're only seeing the beginning of it. As a church, we can go and get angry, or we can just keep standing up and fighting for the freedoms that we do have. It's time for us to stand. And this is what the grace. Worship team, if you want to come up and close this out, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 to close with today. And I hope it's an encouraging message at one point, but it's also hopefully reminding you, not only do we have a great reminder and faith of what we've been given, but we also have a reminder that our nation is found on these same principles today. If you have Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, he wasn't a bad man, he was a good guy, good man. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My conclusion this morning is simply this. We are reminded by a God who loves us so much, and hopefully as we go back and look at Scripture and all the things that he's done, this is a reminder that our God saved us, he loved us, but while we were still enemies with him, while we were still out spewing hatred and everything else we were doing, that's when he chose to die for you. Not when you started getting better. Not when you started going, oh, you know what? Adam shows some promise here. Looks like he actually might go to church again. Oh, I think I'll die for him. No, you know, while Adam was in rebellion and hated me and walked the ways of the world, that's when I want to die for him. I want a good man to die for sin when it doesn't make sense. That's the price that Jesus paid for us. While we were still sinning, he was dying. Before we were born, he already thought of the sin and became that sacrifice for us. We have great, great hope this season. And just like I do believe in a nation, we are reminded of all those great men and women who gave their lives and those families who sacrificed their loved ones to die for us to gain this freedom. And as we leave this Memorial Day weekend, I hope that we get renewed in strength to know that we as Christians have rights and freedoms that we need to fight for. But as Americans, we still have those two. We are to stand up for what truth is and what righteousness is, no matter what the cost is. Jesus did it when it wasn't popular. And he's asking us to do the same. My friends, will you lay your life down for truth? And we're living in a day where it's not popular to speak of some of the things that are taught in this Bible. But is this truth or not? Is where we end it. The end question is, if we stand for this, this doesn't fail, no matter what it is. And it might be unpopular, but I'm not worried about a popularity contest. Worry about, I would rather offend the world than the God who died for me. So let's take a stand. Let's remind ourselves this weekend, not only of the amazing freedoms that we have in America, but also what Christ did for us. Amen? That's the reminder we have this weekend. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close in worship, and let me close in prayer. Worship team, our prayer team, I'm not sure who's all here. I do know that half the church is camping this weekend. I'm aware of that. But you know what's great? Every year I come out here on Memorial Day weekend like, oh, no one's going to show up, and you guys still show up anyways. And I think we had a pretty awesome morning, and we're going to remind ourselves and encourage each other throughout the rest of this Memorial Day weekend. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have been set free. And anyone in this room right now, as the prayer team's coming forward right now, if anyone in this room right now is sitting there going, I want a stone of remembrance today. Maybe I've never truly yielded my heart to Christ. Maybe I've just never made that step to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of everything. Come on up to today and put a stone in the ground and say, this is my day. This is my day of freedom. Those of you that are struggling with addictions or struggling with strongholds in your life that you just know that are overcoming you, today I ask you, just come on up. Have someone pray with you. Stand with you. Put a stone of remembrance there saying, that's the day I chose to be free. I chose to let fear go. I chose to let bondage go. And I want to live a life, and it's going to be a memory of the rest of my life of the freedom that I have in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the United States of America. We thank you that we are living in a place of freedom because of those great men and women who gave their lives for us and those families who made sacrifices to lose moms and dads and sons and daughters. So we thank you. We honor them this weekend for the great sacrifices they made. And we thank you, Jesus, for the greatest sacrifice of all, eternal life with you. And we honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of man, voice of many waters, the song of heaven's throne, louder than the thunder, make your glory known.
Steps to get out of the basement. It was already at our knees, and as we got to the top of the steps, it had already rose to the ceiling, and we got out of there, and I knew in the dream I needed to run to the back room to go for my dad. And so I said, "Dad," and I called him, and he woke up, and then I went to the next room, and I called on this guy's name's Danny, and I said, "Danny," and I didn't see him in the bed, but he was on the other side of the bed, and his arm was outstretched, and he said, "I'm here." And when I woke up, I looked at the name Danny, and it means God is my judge. And when the waters, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And when the Lord said, "When you call upon my name, you will be saved, you will be healed, you will be delivered, you will be protected, you will be preserved, you will be made whole." But we have to actually call in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's saying, "Call in my name today. Call out to me."
Anybody in the room right now, just give us a second. As you're before the Lord right now, and this, we're crying out the Lion of Judah, victorious Lion. In this room right now that you know you're feeling like there's flood water that's coming against you, you're struggling, you will never find freedom without calling out your words. You can want it so bad, but until you go and cry out with your voice, right there, we just read a minute ago, just, "You're my friends, you can have whatever you ask. My friends, I want to give you." If any of you right now need something, any breakthrough, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever you need right now, as Diane shared that with me a second ago, as the flood waters are raising, you feel like you're losing the ability to have hope, cry out this morning. Today, make this a day where you cry out. Say, "Enough is enough. Healing is mine. Freedom is mine. Peace is mine. No longer in torment." I just ask you, if you're tired of living in the prison walls that you're feeling, I just encourage you that these altars are just not just to go and, you know, have people standing there, but if you want to just say, "Yes, today I will cry out. I will release a voice to cry out to God for victory, for freedom, for healing, for deliverance, whatever you need. He is our God who says, 'You call out to me and I will give you freedom.' He will heal you. His word is clear." So if that's you this morning, before we walk out these doors, one more chance. Just respond if this is you this morning. If not, we'll just come and continue to worship and we'll dismiss you. But you don't get a breakthrough without releasing those words out of your mouth. It's the power of your words being released, declaring that you need God, that His freedom is yours, is where breakthrough comes. Don't just sit back. Declare it. Use your words. "You shall have whatever you ask," it says. Amen.
Pride of Zion, prophet spoke, our Messiah, flesh and bone.
everyone, for coming. I hope you have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next week.